Dave, anything new down there in your state regarding reopening or rules or anything that might prohibit play?
For Collegeville, no, not really. Everything's kind of still, you know, what it just has been. Football team started fall. They'll be starting fall camp coming up this week. So they'll be on the field getting ready for the season after the SEC announcing they'll be playing 10 conference games now. So that's good news. As far as high school, Bill, I know you and I talked about that. They've pushed everything to August 24th now. So not a big change there. And, you know, I got kind of in relation to some big news Florida got last night, and I know Tennessee fans kind of interested there. Kamar Wilcoxon, who was committed to Tennessee after being committed twice to Florida and then flipped back to Florida after committing to Tennessee, he's going to reclassify for – he says he's going to reclassify for 2020, and he'll be on campus in a couple weeks. He'll finish, be able to get his credits in high school and be able to – hit campus for the Gators, and he brings up a good point, Bill. And you know, as I said, you know, high school delaying their season at least starting to get on the field August 24th. And he's like, he doesn't even know for sure if there's going to be a high school football season, in a college football season too, for that matter. But he says if there's not a season either way, he'd rather go ahead and be on his college campus so he can get developed, learn the playbook, learn behind you know, Marco Wilson and Kyer Elam. As much as he can, so that's some pretty big news for Florida's 2021 class. A kid that we thought would be in this class will reclassify and now be in the 2020 class and hit campus pretty soon. So, no one expecting to be a major contributor much at all, but you know, he, as I said, he can learn behind those guys and be playing those four games coming up this season there. So, you know, it's pretty interesting the way. We can get into it too, Bill. The way some kids are reacting to it, you know, one 2021 guy reclassifying, and you know, you have some players out there, and Kadarius Toney and Jacob Copeland out there on social media, you know, engaging in opt-out talks on social media. So a lot of weird headlines to come along with this at the same time right now, Bill.
I saw you commenting on this. We were talking about it Monday on the show, how one of the considerations for having an SEC conference only schedule was if they allowed a plus one, which would be in your case Florida State, and they canceled all the other non-conference games legally because of the term force majeure, would be kind of hard to get over not paying those non-conference teams that you owe money to. So I saw you commenting on that, though.
Yeah, Bill, I have, and more than I thought, don't get me wrong, I get it. I hate the games are not being played, too, but, you know, dealing with the question if we're even going to have a season, I thought a lot of fans would have been like, okay, at least we get these 10 games. We can, you know, we'll have some, looks like we'll have some semblance of football. We'll try to have some semblance of football in the fall. There was still a lot of pushback from, you know, Florida State side and Clemson, South Carolina, you know, from the SEC side, from the Florida and the South Carolina side of not playing those games. Fans love those games. And, a lot of it looks on the surface, too, is, hey, if you can have Florida and Missouri play, whether it be Florida traveling to Missouri and Missouri traveling to Florida or Georgia traveling to Missouri or however it works out, or Arkansas in that mix, too, with, you know, Florida and Georgia, you know, two, you know, schools that are really, really far apart from each other, you know, does it make a lot of sense that those two teams can play, but two teams 70 miles apart from each other or 100 miles apart from each other can't play? It's a worthy argument on the surface if you look at it. Now, a lot of it has to do with the SEC knows their own testing protocols, and they say, hey, we are ingrained here in each other, and we know we have all followed the same testing protocols, so if something happens, we just, you know, it's on us as a conference. But, you know, a lot of fans love those games, and we've had, you know, Florida fans were excited to face Mike Norvell in his first season and, you know, continue the streak versus FSU and get on the field for that. And Clemson, South Carolina, Yeah, it hasn't been a game all too much, but that game's important for those. I think they've played since 1908 or something like that every year since then. So it is weird when you look at it kind of from far away, Bill, of, you know, distance playing the factor, and you can still play teams that are halfway across the country, but you can't play teams that are out there in your own state.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get all his information, his podcast, et cetera, here in just a couple of minutes. Has anybody at Florida or anybody in your state said much about what's going on in the Pac-12 with the players?
Probably the most vocal, Bill, would have been, and I'll keep it Gator-related here, Zach Carter, defensive lineman for the Gators. He, on Twitter, Sunday, he reposted that letter from the Pac-12 and kind of vocal about a lot of those issues there. And, you know, he wasn't saying anything about opting out or whatever. I think he basically just saying how he basically supports that, and then kind of got into it with some fans a little bit. You know, fans basically saying he's ungrateful for what he has and calling him out for, you know, just kind of basically sharing his opinion on that. And, you know, it basically after that, he kind of come out and said, you know, a lot of fans just don't care about the players. You know, and that's a lot of what the players are saying. You know, they just don't, a lot of players just see themselves as the workforce for college football, and nobody really cares about them. And, you know, a lot of fans were kind of making that known Sunday on Twitter, going back and forth with Zach Carter.
Right.
So, like I said yesterday, Kadarius Toney and Jacob Copeland were having some social media conversations about possibly opting out, and I'm pretty sure that stems from a lot of the Pac-12 stuff as well. I don't know how serious they were. I think a lot of it, maybe it was Kadarius Toney who originally posted it. He goes, maybe thinking about opting out, and Jacob Copeland retweeted it and basically said, you know, maybe me too, help before football. He's a kid. I'm sure a lot of it may be to do with just the attention of it on the heels of what the Pac-12 players are deciding to do. But, Bill, it is an interesting aspect in the way of looking at it in retaliation to that. Will that give players in their own mind, should they sit down and think about, you know, seriously what they want to do this fall? They'll be able to keep their scholarships if they don't play. How ingrained can they be in the team if they're not part of the team this fall? I think that's a legit question as well. But from the Florida side of it, there's been some, you know, retaliation, at least on the social media side of it, of making public some of their thoughts. And I don't think they're going to sit out. Or I think there may be some. I think a lot of players will have some, or a lot of teams will have some players that choose to sit out. Some of them is going to be because they're highly draft eligible and don't want to get hurt or like that, or end up getting COVID some point this fall and not be able to train for the NFL draft right after the season. So I think you may see something like that. But I think there's going to be more people who have an NFL future more so than the health side of it.
One other note here. You were talking on Twitter about the early signing period that has become popular for people to sign. I don't like the idea of it, but more people sign early than late now that is an opportunity they can take advantage of. It's a 72-hour period somewhere in mid-December on a Wednesday, starting on a Wednesday. And you wondered if they'd move it back. I don't think you move it at all. You just give them two opportunities. If you don't get what you need by December, by the way, we've got way more commits than we had this time last year when everything was normal. But I think what they'll do is just leave it in place, and if you don't want to sign, don't sign. Sign in February. But Dave, your point though, I think about when do they get to visit? I don't know if that day's coming. I don't know if they will ever get to visit. Officially, that is.
I don't think so either, Bill. And I do agree with you. I think you just keep it in December and let the players decide. I do think this will be a year where we don't see as many early. If they come out pretty early and say, all right, there's just going to be no visits whatsoever this fall, then Yeah, I think you can see where they still may shine early. A good bit still may shine early. But if there's still a chance going all the way to February, maybe something changes and a lot of kids can start visiting in January, right before, you know, the February signing day. Maybe they even push February signing day back a month or a couple weeks, Bill, if they start allowing visits. I think if they start allowing visits, and it's pushed back a little bit, I think you maybe push that February signing period back maybe a couple weeks or something like that. So it gives these teams a little more of a window to get some of these players in for a visit. But I agree with you, Bill. I don't think we'll see visits this fall. We'll see if what the attendance can be with fans. Now, if you start allowing 50% fans at stadiums or something like that, then I don't necessarily see the big risk in kids taking visits. At the same time, if you're going to allow, 40,000 people in the stands, but there's maybe more of a liability issue at that point when high school recruits start coming on. So more than likely, I don't think we'll see many visits this fall, if any at all. And I think they'll keep December and the February signing periods. And I just say if there's a chance at having visits either late in the winter or going into the new year, I think we may see more kids start making a February decision more so in December.
Tell everybody how they can get your podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform out there. We'll talk about maybe some possible players opting out this week on the podcast. We're going to try and hold off a little bit, Bill, and see if the SEC will announce the schedule. We already know the 10 games that they're going to play, 10 conference games, and more than likely the 8 opponents that you were already going to play. But everybody's just kind of waiting to see which two will be added. So kind of going to hold off on the episode and see if we can pop that in the episode this week.
You know what? I was going to ask you about that with the teams that roll onto the schedule in the future. It's Bama and A&M, but we've been told that don't necessarily count on that being the way the decision is made. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but that's what everybody put out there, which means Florida would add Bama and A&M, which means Florida would get the rawest deal of everybody.
Yeah, and that's part of it, Bill. I don't think a lot of fans aren't disappointed if it would be Alabama and A&M because it's exciting football,
right?
And you get that, but the big deal is Georgia would in turn get Arkansas and Mississippi State. So that's where the Gator fans get a little bit of angst. It's like, hey, we don't mind playing Alabama and A&M, but Georgia gets Arkansas and Mississippi State at the same time. So that's where a lot of the schedule inequality comes up. And look, the schedule is always not equal for these teams in the SEC, but that's where a lot of the angst comes from, Bill. It's not that Florida had to play Alabama and A&M. It's just that some other teams out there get a better deal out of it all.
So Georgia is guaranteed 2-0 under that formula. And Florida is at best 1-1 under that formula.
Yeah, more than likely so. So that's where it comes from. So
I like that. That's good message board stuff, isn't it? That's awesome.
Oh man, Bill, Twitter and message boards have eaten that. And then some Alabama.com writer, I retweeted it yesterday, saying that he has heard Florida's coaching staff does not want Alabama on the schedule.
I saw that.
Yeah. I'm sure Saban wouldn't be happy playing Florida, Alabama, or Florida and Georgia out of the East either. So,
have a good one, sir. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.